Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Amen. We give God praise today, the highest praise of hallelujah. We thank God for this Word Wednesday during this last week of our fasting and praying. Hallelujah. Word Wednesday in this first month of this new year, this new decade. We thank God, amen, for allowing him to give us the opportunity to grow in the knowledge of his word in the name of Jesus. So let us pray at the outset as we get into the word of God tonight. Father, we thank you. Lord, we believe by faith that we're going to grow spiritually tonight and through this word, through the teaching and talking about the word of God, the scriptures, God, that we will edify our minds and educate ourselves, God, in the things of God. And Lord, we believe by faith that you have sovereign and total control over every situation. So we give ourselves away, give ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. So God, have your way tonight. Use me, your preacher, your manservant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm just led to go to Joel tonight. Some other scriptures that I will definitely get to, but because we are fasting and praying, this was in my spirit. It is one of the scripture readings on the sheet. If you're part of New Creation Church, we have scripture readings weekly that are outlined on the paper along with some of the requirements during the fasting and praying. But Joel chapter 1 and 2 is on that sheet because it talks about fasting and praying. And I'm going to look at that because tonight I'm talking about God will restore. God will restore. The enemy wants nothing more for you and I to give up, for you and I to quit when things are not as good as they used to be, or possibly when something has been taken away from us or decreased or not what it used to be. He wants us to just chalk it up and say, you know, count your losses. But sometimes, and we're going to see throughout the scripture, I mean, there's just so many, as I begin this lesson, there's just so many stories, so many testimonies, so many different accounts of God totally restoring that which was taken away from the people of God. So we know it's the will of God, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So even if the devil sometimes gets the upper hand on us and the devil sometimes have his way in our lives, we believe that God will restore. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. God is going to restore everything that you in the name of Jesus. I really believe that by faith. So let's look at Joel. Joel chapter number 1, and we're going to go to Joel chapter number 2. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know if you guys can hear that clicking sound, but we're going to try to work on that. But turn your Bibles to Joel, chapter number 1, verse number 14. Thank you, Jesus. Joel, chapter number 1, verse number 14. Sanctify you a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord, your God, and cry unto the Lord. He says, sanctify yourselves, call a solemn assembly, come together in church at the house of God, and cry out to the Lord, pray to God. Four great instructions he gives Joel, the prophet, for the people of God. Sanctify, to sanctify, you know, there's some things that are still sacred to God. It does not matter what we think. It does not matter sometimes what we see in our day as it relates to church and the order of things. But the Bible says God says do things decently and in order. Just bear with me, people of God. I'm going to try to sign out and sign back in. Hang on the line. I'll be right back. Hallelujah. Yeah, but it's real static. It might be my phone, but it's real static. God bless.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine just standing before the King? Can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I could only imagine, yeah, what my eyes see when your face is before me. Can only imagine. I could only imagine.
Okay, we're back. Hallelujah. I pray you can hear me clearly. To God be the glory. Again, we started in the book of Joel. The book of Joel, J-O-E-L, chapter 1, verse number 14. It was a call to fast, which we are doing during these 21 days of fasting. As I was defining sanctification or to sanctify, that word from the biblical standpoint, a biblical definition, is to cleanse or to purify or to set apart. Sanctification, as I was saying, some things are still sacred in the eyes of God. And as we consecrate ourselves, as we fast and pray, I believe God is ready in you and I for something great. Something wonderful he's going to release in our lives. And we're going to see that throughout the scriptures. Every now and again, when God called a solemn assembly, or he said, sanctify yourself, it happened when they crossed the Jordan. Joshua gave them instructions, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow God is going to show you some wondrous works. And glory be to God, with the Ark of the Covenant, that the men of God, the priests, put their feet in the water, and the Jordan was parted. Because guess what? They got ready. They consecrated. They sanctified themselves. The same thing with David. When David was anointed king, God gave Samuel instruction, go down to the house of Jesse, have a sacrificial offering. But before that, sanctify Jesse and his son. And Samuel the prophet did a sanctification ceremony. And then we know the rest. David was anointed king. And so many times God says throughout the Bible, sanctify yourself. Even when God spoke to the children of Israel, as Korah led a band against Moses, and he was jealous and envious of Moses, and God said, sanctify yourselves. And then the next day, God came down and spoke to the people of God and said, I speak to Moses face to face. You should be afraid of how you deal with him. So sanctification is so important, and we're going to see that in chapter 2. As you turn over to chapter 2, again, remember what we're talking about tonight. God will restore. We're going to see right here God restoring in one of the promises and prophetic words of God. Joel chapter 2, verse number 24, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Listen to verse number 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and you shall be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wonderfully with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Come on, somebody. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And he says it again, and my people shall not be ashamed. Now listen to verse number 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Remember how Peter quoted that in Acts chapter number 2? As Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost invaded the earth, and he quoted right here what Joel said. And then Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Come on, glory be to God. The prophetic word over your life, the promise over your life will happen. It will come to pass. Glory be to God. So sometimes we got to just wait on the Lord. And I'm going to show you what I believe waiting on the Lord looks like. It doesn't mean that we're idle. It doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. But sometimes people say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on God. But that's not the kind of waiting he wants us to do, like we're waiting on our plane to arrive or our train or bus to arrive, or we're waiting for an appointment. It's a different kind of waiting when you're waiting on the Lord. He doesn't want us idle. He wants us to have that spirit of expectation. He wants us to keep our faith and our faith antenna up and be alert. But when God moves, oh, glory, it doesn't surprise us because we expected God to move. Amen. He says you're going to eat plenty. I'm going to restore the years. And you're going to praise me. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. And I will restore everything that the insects ate away. That's a prophetic word from the prophet Joel. And I want to speak that into your life tonight as we look throughout the scriptures of so many times God restored what was taken away. The word restore means simply to give back or to return back, to get it back. Hallelujah. To bring it back, to repair or to renovate, to replace. And I believe God is going to do that in your life as we begin to go into this new season, this new year. Sometimes, you know, we took a less paying job. We took a smaller apartment. Sometimes we got a decrease in income because of what's going on in the economy. Certain things happen in our lives, and we lost certain things that we once had, you know. And God is saying to us tonight, I will restore. I will give it back in the name of Jesus. But I'm so glad as we are fasting and praying, I believe God is readying us for something great in the name of Jesus. Let's go here and look. 2 Kings. I went over the scripture, I know in the recent past, but I need to see it again because we're talking about restoration tonight. Here's a woman. The man of God, Elisha, blesses her. He gives her a miracle son, a miracle baby, because she was barren. In her old age, she never had a child. And she was so kind to the prophet, the man of God, that he prophesied to her that you're going to have a son. Long story short, she had the son. Unfortunately, the son died. And then Elisha gave her a miracle by restoring her son back to life. He laid on the son in the upper room, eyeball to eyeball, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, body to body. And the young man sneezed 7 times and he laid on him again. And the young man came back to life and her son was restored to her. She got her son back. It was a miracle. Now let's look at 2 Kings chapter 8, verse number 1. Again, we're talking about God will restore. Then spoke Elisha unto the woman whose son had been restored to life, saying, arise and go to your own, arise and go thou and your household, and sojourn wheresoever you can sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land for 7 years. He's telling this woman of God, I don't know where you're going to go, but you need to get out of this part of the land because there's going to be a severe famine for 7 years because God is going to deal with this piece of land where we are. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned into the Philistines for 7 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. In other words, she was gone for 7 years. And for that time, back in that day, if you're gone for that length of time without somebody really being there to watch over your property, thieves and robbers and unlawful people will come in and take your land and take your house. And there's nothing you can do about it because you abandoned your property. Verse number 4, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, of all the great things that Elisha has done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my Lord, this is the woman and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. Verse number 6, glory be to God. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, come on, somebody, restore all, my God, restore all, every bit of it that was hers, and all that fruit of the field since the day that she had left the land, even until now. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Some of y'all was probably wondering, Pastor Anthony, how can God restore the years? How could God restore the years that was taken? Hallelujah. How could God do that? What did I just read? Glory be to God. He said, give her back everything she lost for the last 7 years. Oh, my God. Help me, Holy Ghost. Every ounce of fruit, every apple, every orange, every banana, hallelujah, every watermelon, everything that was grown on her land, although she was gone for 7 years, give everything that belongs to this woman of God back to her. Who is God talking to tonight? It's never too late for you to get it back. Come on. Oh, my God, my God. The devil wants you to give up on your dream, but get your dream back. He wants you to give up on your prayers, get your prayers back. He wants you sometimes to give up on certain things that you had before and you lost it. But God says to you tonight, keep hope alive. Keep praying. Keep desiring that thing. Keep wanting it. Don't let it be a past memory because God will give it back to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's never too late to get it back. It's never too late to get it back. You can get your church back. You can get your members back. You can get your joy back. You can get your praise back, get your dance back in your feet, get your excitement back for the church. You can get your excitement back for life. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we be going through
the warfare. We're going to look at that a little bit tonight. Why so much warfare? Why is there so much opposition? And we're going to see the enemy, how he works to oppose the people of God. And he tries to wear you down. He tries to wear you out. He tries to burn you out with problems. But, oh, my God, God is going to get back to you everything that belongs to you. Go to 1 Samuel, since we're in Kings. I was going to go there a little later. But since we're in Kings, go back a couple of chapters to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Since we're in 2 Kings and we're close, it's in the neighborhood, let's go here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That story blesses me every time I see it. Because guess what? She obeyed prophecy. Oh, my God. See, sometimes we thinking, oh, that prophecy not going to come to pass. Or you know, I don't know if they know, you know, it's been a long time since I heard that prophetic word. Pastor Rebecca and I have been saying it all year. Believe his prophet and you will prosper. Believe in God and you will be established. That's Bible, people of God. 2 Chronicles 20:20, and the prophetic word, that's why I had to start in the book of Joel. My sons and my daughters will prophesy, not the psychic, not the witch. He said, my sons and my daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I thank God that the prophetic word is going forward in the times in which we are living, and your prophetic word will come to pass that has been prophesied over your life from the will of God. Let's look at David. David had everything taken away in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And let's look how David responds. David responds differently than what the story we just read. The story we just read, Elisha had an assistant, and the king heard so much about this great prophet that he just wanted to hear the stories of old. And it just so happened that this woman came in. There are no coincidences in God. Come on. She came in at the time that Elisha's servant was there. So that he was an eyewitness to everything from the beginning to the end. So the king believed the man of God, and this woman got blessed because she obeyed the prophet. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten it and burnt it with fire and had taken the women captive that were there. They slew not any, great nor small, but carried all of the people away, and they went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their children and their daughters and their sons were all taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept. They began to cry until they had no more power to weep. That's great loss. And David's two wives were taken. Verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. My God, my God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, this is David's response. Once everything was taken away, they're talking about stoning David. They want to kill David because David had great loss just like they had great loss. David's family was taken away just like his men's family were taken away. So they're all in the same predicament. They're all in the same boat. But David, they want to stone, because sometimes when we lose things, we want to blame somebody. And we need to blame the devil. My God, he is the, oh my Lord. The Bible says, let him who still no more. The gospel writer John calls him a thief. He didn't call him the devil. He called him a thief. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Because a thief does what? Steal. A thief is a robber. And that's what the devil does. He tries to take our joy. He tries to take our opportunities. He tries to take our possessions. But, oh, no, no more. No more, devil. We're going to put him up under our feet in the name of Jesus. That's why after you fast and after you pray for these 3 weeks, you're going to be ready to let him who still, still no more. But watch what David does. This is why we pray and fast, and this is why we've been praying and fasting for the last 2.5 weeks. David says in verse number 7 to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought David the ephod. Now, David's not a priest. But what? He is desperate. He is going to God in prayer. Ooh, oh, my God, my God, my God. When we pray to God, God is moved by that. That gets God's attention. When it's out of our hands, out of our control, there's nothing more we can do about the situation but go to God in prayer, God is saying yes. That's why sometimes, you know, we pray as a last resort when we done tried to work it out, we done tried to figure it out, we done tried to talk sense into the situation, we done put our hands on it in every way. And God says sometimes, come to me first. That's what David's about to do. He didn't try to go chase after nobody because he didn't know which way to go. He didn't go try to just, you know, get his family back because he didn't know what to do. So he went to God in prayer. Amen. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But when we pray, God gives us wisdom. God gives us understanding. He'll give us a peace until he worked it out. God will allow us, amen, to think clearly. He will allow our hearts not to be hardened or bitter. When we pray, so much is being released. Now, he prayed in verse number 7. Now watch verse number 8. And David inquired as he prayed, now he's asking God, at the Lord saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. My God. Glory to his name. I pray that spoke to you like it just spoke to me. The Bible says without fail, you won't fail. You're going to recover all. God will restore. All he's asking us to do is pursue it. Pursue your dreams. Pursue your goals. Pursue your family. Pursue your healing. Pursue your deliverance. Pursue your aspiration because you're going to get it. You will get to your destination. You will get everything that the enemy think he stole from you. Go down to verse 18 and 19. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Watch verse number 19. And there was nothing lacking to them. Absolutely nothing. Neither small nor great. Neither sons nor daughters nor spoil nor anything that they had taken. David recovered all. My God, my God. Woo, my God. Even when it's in the enemy possession, he's not going to do damage to your stuff. Oh, my God, my God. You know how you put in a claim for an insurance? If you have an accident on your car or something, you got to put in a claim, and the claim adjuster come out to look at your car or look at your house, and they assess the damage, and then they're going to put in an amount to make you restore or give you the cost to restore that vehicle back to new or restore that house back to mint condition. Glory be to God. I'm just telling you, we got the best insurance policy ever. His name is Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's better than any Allstate, Progressive. That's better than, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, Geico. Any insurance company can't deal with my God, can't match my God. Hallelujah. And that's what happened here. David had the best insurance policy. It said nothing small or nothing great. Their livestock, their families, their gold, their silver, their possession. Nothing was burnt. Nothing was damaged. Nothing was taken away. David got it all back. Hallelujah. So I want to look at this. What does it mean, Pastor Anthony, to wait on the Lord? Let's look at one example of that waiting on the Lord. The prophet Isaiah said, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that's what waiting on the Lord means. You still got to walk. You still got to run. You still got to do. But they that wait on the Lord, as you're waiting, God is strengthening you. Oh, my God. As you're waiting, God is building you. He's building patience. He's building endurance. He's building stamina in the name of Jesus. Oh, that led me to a scripture tonight. It's not in my notes, but we're going to go there in the name of Jesus. But right now, let's look at Luke chapter number 1. Luke, the book of Luke, looking at Zacharias. An example of what it means to wait on the Lord. Doesn't mean that we're idle. Doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. But we are always waiting on the Lord while we're moving, while we're working, while we're doing what we need to do. God is at work. So as we're moving, he's moving. Hallelujah. The Bible says in him we move and live and have our being. So watch what happens here in Luke chapter number 1, verse number 10. Here's a good example of what does it mean to wait on the Lord. Zacharias and Elizabeth are well beyond childbearing years. They're old. They prayed for a baby in their younger years, and it never happened. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 10 says, "And a whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Now, Zacharias is still doing his priestly duties. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. Because the prayer was answered. The angel met him in due season at the appointed time. That's why I said there are no coincidences in God. Like I preached on Sunday, the woman at the well. Jesus, the woman said that the time has come. No, Jesus said to the woman, "The time has come and now is when they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." In other words, the prophetic word happened during that woman's lifetime, the woman at the well. And that's when he talked about the living waters, because prophecy already been made that Jesus is going to come to restore that which was lost. And now we see Zechariah's prayer being heard, but guess what? He's in the temple. He's lighting the incense. He's doing his priestly duties. He's still moving. He's still working. But unfortunately for Zacharias, he forgot about this prayer. It was prayed so long ago. Elizabeth, his wife, is barren. And if you keep reading, Zacharias doubted the angel because he said, how do I know you're telling me the truth now? I done waited so long for this prayer to be answered. How do I know you're telling me the truth now? And, you know, whenever God want to bless me, I'm going to receive. Come on, somebody. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know why he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it. But whenever God is ready to bless me on some of the prayers I already sent up to glory, I'm ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. It's never too late for me to receive what God has for me in the name of Jesus. And so many Christians, so many times people give up. They'll stop coming to church, and sometimes they'll say faith is not working. You know, God allowed this to happen, and why did God allow that to happen? Listen, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He is never the orchestrator of loss or lack or death or things that we lose or things that bring us pain, things that bring our lives torment. That is not God. The Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil, nor can he tempt us with evil. That is not God. That's all devil. That's all the haters. That's all people who are jealous of you. That's all the people who are envious of you. That is not God. But Zechariah's prayer was heard. Elizabeth got the same message from the angel. She believed God, and the rest is history. They got their miracle baby, John the Baptist. Jesus said there was no one greater than John the Baptist, born among women. So guess what? Not only did he get a prayer, for Jesus to say that about John's character, my God. You remember John, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was baptizing in the wilderness. He said, this coming a day, I'm not even worthy to untie or tie his shoelace. Talking about the Messiah Jesus. And they thought John was a prophet. They thought John was the Messiah. They thought, because so many people believed in John. He was baptized and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near. And so many, thousands and hundreds, came to John the Baptist to be baptized. But he was not the Messiah. He was sent as a forerunner. Amen. To God be the glory. I want to look here. Glory be to God. At let's go here. In Daniel. Daniel. Ezekiel 37 first. Ezekiel 37. Go to the prophet Ezekiel. God will restore. I pray that you're writing these scriptures down, because everyone I talked about so far, the woman in 2 Kings, King David in 1 Samuel. We greatly look at Ezekiel chapter 37, how God's going to restore some dead bones. God, I just want to point out and highlight tonight so many instances. It doesn't matter if it was dry bones, doesn't matter if it was taken away, it doesn't matter if they took it wrongfully, God will restore in the name of Jesus. I said you're going to get it back. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. You will get your stuff back in Jesus' name. What did I say? Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter number 37, verse number 1. So write down those scriptures, 1 Samuel, 2 Kings, chapter number 8. And now Ezekiel 37, and also write down that Luke chapter number 1. And I revisit these scriptures, and they will encourage you as we continue to fast and pray until Sunday. I believe God, as we fast and pray, God's going to give you back some things that you think you lost. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Let me just stop at verse number 1. I'm going to keep reading, but verse number 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Even as I read that, as I was preparing, God said, tell my people my hand is on them. Oh, my God, my God. Tell my sons and my daughters the hand of the Lord is on their lives. God's hand being on you means everything. Many are called, few are chosen, and the hand of the Lord being on your life, it does matter. And he carried me out in the spirit, God is going to bring you out of some stuff in this season that you don't want to be in. My God, my God. God is going to deliver you and bring you out and break you through some things that think it had you or think you were stuck there. Ezekiel said his hand was on me. He brought me out, and then he placed me in the midst of the valley full of bones. God wants to place you where he wants to prosper you. I'm going to say that one more time. God will place you and plant you where he wants to prosper you. Glory be to his name. Glory be to his name. The Bible says, flourish in the place where you are planted. We who are part of New Creation Church, as we believe God for our future, for our family, for our friends, for our goals and our dreams, we're hearing a great preached word at New Creation. We thank God for Prayer Tuesday. We thank God for Word Wednesday. I went to work today just believing God. Just believing God. Hallelujah. We just took our daughter back to school on Monday. Kayla's graduating. And it's just a blessing when you see different parts of your life and see God at work in different areas of your life. God, oh my God. God wants to bless every area of your life. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever think, ask, or imagine. So God is at work. And that's what it means about waiting on the Lord. We still got to be about our Father's business. Ezekiel 37, verse number 2 says, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And yes, they were very dry. We're talking about restoration tonight. We're talking about recovery. Obviously, if he saw a valley full of dry bones, at one time or another, they were alive. This is a parable of the dry bones in reference to the children of Israel. There's some things that they once thought they had, and now they thought they lost it. They were the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they had so much wealth. They had so much land. They got into the land of Canaan. They got into the promised land. It was really flowing with milk and honey. They had it going on. And now they're in a season where they thought they lost. Because even though they had it going on, Babylonian captivity, Egyptian captivity, Roman captivity, Syrian captivity, all these captivities where God handed them over to be captive to the enemy is because time and time and time again, they rebelled against God. And now he's given them a prophecy. I'm going to restore everything that you think you lost. Look at what he says in verse number 3. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said unto me, here's that word again, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. God says, after you get it back, all he wanted to praise. Glory be to God. All he wanted you to do is give him thanks. He don't want you to take credit. He don't want you to give people credit. He just want you to give him the praise. He wants you to honor him as he give it back to you. As you begin to see negative situations turn around, God is saying, just honor me. Just praise me. Just worship me. Hallelujah. You know, God is so good, but he delights in us worshiping him. He delights in us giving him praise. And when you praise God, You know, a star lady said on the line last night, hallelujah, and she said it again, hallelujah, and Sister Maria and so many others just give hallelujah, Prophet Jamal, and so many just say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We hear it in our church on Sunday, and God loves that. It moves the heart and hand of God when we praise him, because he knows, he says in the earth, I can't think of a scripture right now, but Job said, man born of a woman is full of many trouble and many days, something like that. I'm misquoting it. But in other words, in this thing called life, you and I are going to go through some situations. And God knows that. But that's why he already prepared good works in advance. And one of those good works in advance was called praise. Oh, my God. He prepared praise in advance because he knew we were going to go through certain things. But when we praise him, there's a certain release. There's a certain joy that's reinstated into our spirit. So continue to praise God. Let me keep reading because there's so much scriptures I want to get to, and time is getting away from me. Verse number 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews in the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them about, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds and of all ye breath, and breathe to these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. God is saying to speak into the atmosphere, into your home. Speak to that negative situation that you're facing. Prophesy to things. If you're lacking money, if you're lacking health, if you're lacking courage, if you're lacking joy, speak to that thing. Prophesy to it. Talk to it and awake that thing up. Hallelujah. It said these dry bones stood up a great army. These dry bones got the skin on them, and then the four winds of the earth breathed into them, and they became the living creature again. And that's the God that we serve. That's the God who will restore. Glory be to his name. God is going to get it back to you. He's going to remove the shame. We said it in Joel as we started out in the book of Joel. He said, never will my children be shamed. And then he said it in verse number 7 and 8. Again, never will my children be ashamed. People might be laughing at you now. You might have shame and embarrassment, what you're walking through. But I promise you, you're going to have the last laugh. Glory be to God. You are going to have the last laugh. In the name of Jesus. You know, some people celebrate when we fail. They celebrate when we go through. Not everybody's rejoicing that we're getting the victory. But that's okay. Let them keep watching. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Restoration is coming. In Jesus' name. I was going to go to James chapter 1, but even as I said, restoration is coming. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm, Psalm number 23. Again, this is not part of my notes, but I'm led here. I try to be led by the Spirit as I teach. God just pushes me in certain directions, and I try to be so sensitive to his voice. And when he tells me to go somewhere, I don't even ask why. Like, God, what does that have to do with you will recover or you will restore? Let's read Psalm 23. We might see it in here. Psalm 23, I know restoration is in here, and we are talking about being restored. The 23rd Psalm says, verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some translation says, I shall not be in want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores, there it is. He restores my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that scripture. I love the 23rd Psalm. I want to put a little emphasis on verse number 2. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. Then verse number 3, he restores my soul. The soul, our minds, our wills, and our emotions. The soul consists of the mind, the will, and our emotions. God says he's going to restore our minds. He's going to restore our emotions. He's going to restore our will. Sometimes we get out of the will of God. Sometimes our emotions get the best of us and overtake us. That's why we get angry. That's why we cuss people out. That's why we lose it. That's why sometimes, amen, we allow our emotions to rule us. But he says, I'm going to restore your emotions. I'm going to restore your mind. I'm going to restore your will. And I'm going to make you lie down near green pastures. I'm going to lead you beside a quiet place, beside a still water. My God, that's such a beautiful scripture. That's what David wrote this one. Remember David lived in caves? Remember David was running from the Philistines? Remember David was fighting the Amalekites? Remember David's own children came after him, trying to kill him and take his kingdom away from him? David understands about lying down near green pastures, about restoring my soul. David knows so well about having his head anointed with oil and goodness and mercy following him and preparing a table before him in the presence of his enemies. David has so many enemies, but time and time and time again, God showed him, I'm going to prepare a table before you. In other words, your enemy's going to watch you, David, get blessed. My God, my God. My God, my God. And God is saying that to somebody today. Stop worrying about your enemy. Stop worrying about who don't like you. Stop worrying about who's not supporting you and who's not helping you. God says, focus on me. I'm the one that's going to release blessings into your life. I'm the one that's going to give you the best. I'm the one that's going to do for you what people can't do for you anyway. So our focus during this time of fasting and praying should be on God. It should be a hunger and thirst for God. Sometimes in the middle, I got a headache today. And I said, oh, my goodness. Because, I work at FedEx. In my line of work, a headache is not a good thing. So, there's a lot of banging, there's rambling. I do a lot of activity, and it's physical work. And, there's noise. A headache is not good for my line of work. And I felt the headache coming, and I prayed. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, but I know it was my body responding. Like, where's my sugar? I haven't eaten sweets in 2.5 weeks. That's not like me at all. Glory be to God. The potato chips, the candy bars. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Ice cream. Glory be to God. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Well, time is getting away, and I thank God as we fast and pray. It's not easy. We got a few more days until Sunday, and hang in there. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. There's one more scripture I want to go to before we close out tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Because we're talking about God will restore. So, you know, the devil wants you to hold your head down if you lost something. If you had a good job and you lost it, had a good apartment, had a good opportunity, you know, car got totaled. But whatever it is, you have a chance to get it back. You always have a chance to get it back. A good relationship, you know, you and your man, you and your woman had it good at one time and now it's not so good these days. You can get it back. Just got to believe God. Hallelujah. Go to James. We're going to close out here in James. Because we talked a little bit about waiting on God. And I'm going to see this in James because some of us are still waiting for what I just talked about. Waiting on that restoration. Waiting on the recovery. Waiting on God to renew it and to replace it. And as you wait, James, the brother of Jesus, writes something so powerful in James chapter number 1. Why God sometimes allow us to wait. Now, I was going to look at Lazarus tonight. Jesus, once he got word from Mary and Martha about Lazarus, the Bible says he waited 2 more days. And by the time he got there, it was 4 days. And Mary and Martha said, by now, he stinketh. And I said on Sunday, sometimes just because God loves us, just because Jesus loves us, it doesn't mean that he sometimes won't make us wait. And the reason he made Martha and Lazarus and Mary to wait because he wanted to show God's glory. And sometimes that's the reason he allows you and I to wait. He wants us to see the glory of God. So don't get impatient. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get impatient with God or frustrated with God. Just wait on the Lord. And we're going to see that in James, how I got to close out, how the enemy sometimes try to get you and I to lose patience. But James writes this so wonderfully. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, James. I love it so much. James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brothers, James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Knowing this, he said, when all that warfare is going on, when all those attacks are happening, when things are not going your way, when you're going through a hardship and a hard time, count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I'm going to stop right there. I want to keep reading. No, I'm going to keep reading. You got a couple more minutes. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So as we go forward and wait until God restores, we can't be double-minded and doubt God, but we got to be so focused in faith until God does what he does. Father, we thank you tonight. God will restore. God, there are some things that we have lost, and we're believing by faith that we're going to get it back. That woman got everything back. She was gone for 7 years, and you said everything that the cankerworm and the pomegranate and the locust have eaten up out of our lives, you will restore the years that we think we lost. So, God, I thank you for this lesson tonight. Doesn't matter what our children are doing. Doesn't matter what our families are doing in this season. You can restore. You can restore our families. You can restore our marriages. You can restore our money. You can restore our body. So, God, help us to wait on you until the manifestation and the demonstration and it becomes a reality in our lives. So we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we will see everyone in this New Jersey area in church on Sunday, 12:30. We have the food fellowship. We have Friends and Family Day. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And I thank God. We're going to see a flyer on, hopefully on Facebook soon about it, where you can hopefully send it to your database or your contacts and tell them about 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey, New Creation Church, Friends and Family Day Fellowship, Food Fellowship, this Sunday to close out our 21-day fast in Jesus' name. Thank you for sowing a seed into the ministry that we can do the work of the ministry. And we love you. Good night, everyone. See you on Sunday in worship service. God bless. Good night.